I wanted to exhort us with some things as we get started tonight out of Deuteronomy 28. So if you have your Bible, open up to Deuteronomy 28. Let me quickly recap what we've been talking about so far in this Bible study. We have been laying a good solid foundation on this subject of financial stewardship. And we started off talking about how God wants us blessed. God wants to prosper us. And the reason why we've been hammering that is because religion has been hammering the other way. So it's been trying to knock that nail out of us, so we're turning around and hammering back. God does want us blessed. He does care about our financial condition. And until we start lining up our will with His will, we're not going to experience it. So we're trying to renew our minds to these things. And then last week, which I was really blessed by last week, I know some of you were because you changed your name after it. Glory to God. You know, we're Mary Blessed Bird, Nancy Blessed Hampton. I was getting people talking to me all about it. It's good when you change your name like that. Just like when Abram had his name changed to Abraham, when he changed the way he saw himself, when he changed his confession of himself, when he changed his name, the blessing came. Amen. I'm a poet and I didn't even know it. When he changed his name, the blessing came. Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at a few verses right quick before we have Robert come up and share tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in a moment. But in Deuteronomy 28, we were talking about the blessing last week. And we were talking about how important it is to understand that we are blessed. And I just encourage you to get over here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, and meditate on what these blessings were. And the thing that really is helpful in understanding these principles and truths that he was laying out here is that the Lord was mainly addressing shepherds and farmers. The Israelites were predominantly in their occupation shepherds and farmers. So a lot of these things might not directly relate to us in terms of our blessed are our flocks. What does that mean? Well, that means your pets are blessed. Amen. That means your businesses are blessed. So you got to learn how to associate those things. But I wanted to look at a couple of these real quick. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now let me comment on this first verse, because it's very important to understand, Jesus Christ fulfilled the letter of the law. So since He fulfilled this, we don't have to keep all the commandments anymore in order to experience the blessing. Now, there is a practical application of it in that we do need to follow the principles of the Word of God. We'd be ignorant to just sit there and do things opposed to the way God's laid out for us to do them and expect God's best. You know, we need to do things God's way. And then also to obey the voice of the Lord our God. That's being led by the Holy Spirit. So sons of God are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. So you got to do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. So there are some principles there, but we don't have to keep the Mosaic or Levitical law. Amen? We just need to be led by the Spirit of God and led by the Word of God, and we will be good. It'll be icing. Glory to God. So then he goes on to say in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, isn't that great? Wouldn't you just like to wear them? That's what he's saying. They'll come upon you and they'll overtake you. We're going to wear the blessing of God, which will manifest in blessings, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God or are led by the Holy Spirit. But blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Now, what's he saying right here? You're going to be blessed no matter where you're at. Now, who did I just say he was addressing this to? Shepherds and farmers. Because what we need to understand is, we look at this and we're like, based on our training and our things that our hearts are sensitive to, the things we're good at, yeah, I can see myself being blessed there. But if I get over into this other field, I can't see the blessing. He was telling the shepherds and farmers right here, you're going to be blessed in the country, and I know you can see that. Guess what? If you go to the city, you'll be blessed there too. Because the blessing of the Lord is not based on all your experiences and your training. It's based on His grace. And then he says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. This is your business, your business, your business. Blessed shall be your basket. This is the one I really wanted to camp on. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Okay? Now, what does this mean? The basket that they had was what they collected the harvest on. This is what they collected their increase with. And then the kneading bowl was what they used to make bread. So this is the way I describe it. Our basket and our kneading bowl are this. Blessed shall your the thing that carries your increase, and blessed shall be the thing that creates your increase. Carries and creates. Meaning what? My bank accounts are blessed. Amen. My business is blessed. My job is blessed. All these things are blessed because I'm there. And the blessing's on me and has overtaken me. And when we look at it that way, I'm telling you, I've had that mentality when I've worked at banks. I'm like, this branch that I work at is blessed because I'm here. And that's the truth. And you look at it that way, and when you truly see that, it'll affect you and it'll affect them. And you think that might glorify God a little bit? Just a smidge, I reckon. Amen. Well, Robert is going to share tonight, and I really, the reason why, when I was putting together this Bible study and things like this, I know that I don't have an answer to everything on these things. We're all having different experiences and stuff, and I'm really excited about what Robert's going to share tonight, because Robert has a really good way of teaching how to get practical with this and how to actually receive the things that we've just heard. Amen. And so, and there's been some awesome things Robert's been teaching, God's been teaching Robert personally here of late, and I'm sure he'll share some of those things as well. So without any further ado, Robert, come on up and bless us, brother. Let's give him a hand. We got to show we appreciate people.
All right, so like Pastor Trey said, I'm a rubber to the road kind of a guy. This is how you do it kind of stuff. Because if I can't do it, what good is it to me, right? So I just want to remind you, this book is full of the truth. Full of the truth. But it does me no good until it is in my heart as my reality. When it becomes my reality, then I walk in it as who I am. Are y'all with me? So we're going to talk about how do we lay hold of these things that God has promised that we're allowed to have, right? So we've talked about that God wants us blessed. God likes to see us blessed. And that we need to have a blessed mentality. Not a grab it and blab it. Not a, you know, just some trite way of getting whatever we want on the planet. But he actually methodically has a process for us to gain wealth, right? He didn't say that he gave us wealth. He said he gave us the power to get wealth, right? And we go and we get wealth for a reason. Go to, let's go to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me just start with this verse so that I can clarify something before we start. Because some of the things that I say, I get a lot of people that wonder if they're allowed to actually believe God for things. They worry about it being selfish. They worry about it being the wrong motive. So let's go ahead and go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's look at verse 17. Ready? Shall I go? All right, 1 Timothy 6:17. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Let me change over to the New King James so I'm with you guys. I ought to read out of the New King James. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Amen? Let's let this be the motive of our hearts, that if we are already wealthy, not to be haughty and think that our wealth is all that, because it's not. The Bible says where your treasure is, that's your heart will be also. And our treasure is the kingdom of God. Amen? So the reason we get wealth is so that we can share it and help other people. If that's our motive, God will give us amply all that we can contain, all that he can trust us with. He will just lavish it upon us if our motive is actually to help other people. Amen? He doesn't want us to get living so opulently that we lose sight of who we are in the spirit and what the kingdom of God's work is in the natural, right? He created us for good works, not for selfish indulgences. Amen? However, I just want to make it clear to you These principles will work if you just want to selfishly indulge yourself. These principles will work if you just want to store up natural treasures and be stingy and greedy. These principles will still work. But it's not good for you if that's what it is. Our motives have to be done in love. That's good for us, amen? That brings life and health to us, amen? So let's share a little bit. Let me give a story. Let me ask a question first. How many of you have believed by faith for a natural thing and got it? Amen. Oh, good. I am preaching to the choir today. Hallelujah. How many of you have believed by faith and it didn't work for you and it frustrates you? A couple of people, a few people. All right, good. So maybe we can remove the kinks that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Okay, and let's get it so that it works every time. Okay, now here's something that you need to hold on to. This is one of the important things. Hold everything loosely. Hold everything loosely. And what I mean by that is, sometimes we can get so dogmatic and definite and bulldogish about things that we actually stop the flow of God. Because we're doing it out of sheer willpower or won't power. The Bible says it's not by power and not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord, right? So, it's not by you forcing it and making it happen, not by power, and it's not by might, you standing and holding it back until it does what you want. It's neither one of those things. It's not. It is totally by the Spirit of God. So we're going to learn how to lay hold of these things by the Spirit of God, okay? So if I can get slide number one, Bruce. The first thing we have to decide, believe it or not, that's actually a very hard thing for some people. You have to decide what you want. You have to really decide what you want. Sometimes we want many things, right? How many right now wants more than one thing besides me? I want several things. And sometimes it's like an orchestra or a symphony or like the Wells Fargo mail deliver guy that's got 10 horses and he's got 10 reins in his hands and he's trying to hold all 10 horses at the same time to get to where he wants to go. Sometimes it is his juggling act. And there's things that take priority over other things. But we have to decide what we want. I'll start with this and then I'll come back to it. I have four things that I'm believing by faith for and a fifth. Okay? The fifth I was believing by faith for before I decided the four. I forgot about the fifth, and I started working on the four. As I started believing for the four and things started popping, the fifth got taken care of. What? Almost completely gone. And the fifth was being completely out of debt other than owning a home and making a house payment. 100% out of debt. And it's almost completely gone now. And it's like, wow, okay. And I want to share with you some of the things I went through on why these things happen the way they do. One thing I was believing for was a cell phone. Pastor Trey kind of gave, you said it one of these times. He just kind of briefly discussed it. I was believing God for a cell phone, but here's the thing. I don't want to pay $600 for a cell phone because I have a plan where I buy my phone outright. And so I spend $40 and I have unlimited minute, unlimited text, and 3 gigs of data. So I want to keep that little plan, you know. So I got to own my phones. Well, I don't want to pay $500, $600, $800 for a phone. So I said, Lord, I'm going to sow a seed. I took a check. I wrote in the memo of the check, cell phone, seed for a cell phone. I asked the Lord how much. He told me, and I sowed the seed. Okay? So I had three other things I'm believing for. One of the other things, I sowed a seed for that also. Broom, sowed a seed. The other two things, I'm just believing by faith without sowing a seed. Can you do that? Can you just believe by faith and not sow a seed? I don't know. We'll find out, right? Pastor Trey says. Amen. So, I'm believing God for a cell phone, and I go to Sam's Club, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden, and I'm an iPhone guy. iPhone. So, of course, I want an iPhone. Well, I go to Sam's Club, and all of a sudden, I see this beautiful Samsung phone there. And it is nice. I mean, it's like the display is almost lifelike. You know, you think your fingers are going to sink right into it when you push the buttons. It's so, wow, this is better than real life. I don't know how you improved on it, but you did. It's beautiful. And I said to myself, boy, I don't know how to work Android phones. What if I don't like it? I pay $800 for a phone and I don't like it. Oh, and here's what I said. Lord, I think I need to find out if I like Android's phones or not. And I went on my way. It was such a slight unconscious decision that I made in my heart. And I went about my days. I am driving down the street, and lo and behold, you know what I found in the middle of the road? I found in a road a phone. It's laying in the street. I watch a car run over it. It flipped up in the air and went back down. I thought, what? I went around the block, open the passenger's door, reach over the seat, grab it off the ground, and look around. There's nobody around. I'm in a neighborhood, and I thought, all right, let's check it out. The screen's not cracked at all. Nothing's wrong with it. It's got a little tiny bit on the side. Nothing. It's perfect. And I look on the back, and I have an AT&T plan, and it's an AT&T phone. I go, oh, well, it's probably somebody's phone. So let's at least get the phone number and see. There's no SIM card in it. It's not being used. I thought, okay, well, I better go and find out, you know, if it's stolen or something, you know. So I go to the AT&T store and I go, hey, would you check this phone and see if it's stolen? He goes, it's not. He checked it out. I go, would this work for my plan? He goes, oh, yeah, here's a card. We'll hook it up. Boom, there it is. I go, it works? He goes, yep, works fine. Works perfectly fine. I go, wow, I better just in case go to the neighborhood that I found it in. And so I went knocking on the doors and saying, did anybody lose a cell phone? One guy goes, what kind? I said, whoever lost it will tell me. And the other houses where nobody was home, I got my business card and I wrote on it, found a cell phone in the road. If you lost one, please call me. And I put it on the doors of the houses that nobody answered at. And guess what? Nobody's called me. Guess what kind of phone it is? Android. Now, let me see. I'm not sure if I want an Android phone. I don't know how to use it. Right? So now I get a free phone to find out if I like Android or not. I'm not fully persuaded in my heart. Just to let you know, I like iPhone. So I'm so thankful I didn't spend money on one to get one. Amen? So praise God. Subtle little things. I'll give you another little story. These are miracles, people, and I really want you to know to give it the credit that it actually is. Larry and Lenora King, they're back here. Larry, raise your hand. That's Lenora. Lenora, raise your hand. God has used them, so without them even trying or anything, it just happened to be, that has literally changed the course of mine and my wife's life, literally, because they've had the blessing of being a part of significant faith things that I was believing God for that they didn't know anything about and just set the course on in my life. One day, my wife was raised in Florida at the Florida Keys. No, at West Palm Beach, Florida. I wanted to go to the Florida Keys because I'd never been there. You know, I want to see the Florida Keys. My wife goes, nope, been there lots of times. There's nothing out there. It's flat, nothing. I said, well, I would like to experience the flat nothing, if you don't mind, please. No, I don't want to go. Okay. One day her mom calls. When I'm talking to her mom, she goes, I just want to go on a trip. I want to go down to the Keys. I go, I do too. I'd love to go down. When can you go? Well, I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. I just want to get out of here. Okay. Well, she wasn't serious. She wanted to, but she wasn't serious. I actually wanted to go. So I have no way of going. I'm not going to go without my wife's blessing at least. And I have no reason to go down there. After all, I'm believing God for a job. I should probably get that first. So I'm believing God for a job, and I just made this declaration. Gosh, I wish I could go to the Florida Keys. I'm letting the Lord, I'm just really asking the Lord, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I need a job. What kind of job do you want me to do? What kind of work can I do? And meantime, I've had little jobs along the way. I'm willing to do whatever I have to do until I can do what I want to do. Does that make sense? Okay, I've had to do jobs that I didn't want to do, but I needed to do them to say supplied a need and solve the problem until what I really wanted to do opened up. Amen? So, and God knew my heart, and he looks at my attitude and things like this, and the timing has a lot to do with it, doing things wisely in his leading, and not because I'm too frustrated, I just want to give up. I've watched people do that, and they couldn't get the traction that they had before. And I've seen their life go down, two different people because of that, so I knew not to do that. Anyway, so I'm believing God for a job and everything, and all of a sudden, my friend Larry King has a daughter down in the Keys and a son-in-law. And guess what? They needed some work done on their property. And Larry goes, would you be willing to go down there and do some work? I said, yeah. I said, absolutely. And he blessed me. We'll pay for the gas. You can stay there at the house, and then we'll work, and then we'll drive down there together and work together and come on up together. I tell you what, absolute answer to prayer, I wanted to go to the Florida Keys. I just let my request be made known to the Lord, and he figured out a way to do it. Plus, I got to know Larry really well. We got to spend some great time together. And even then, let me tell you something. This is important. When we were working there at the Keys, we were digging a fence. And we had to dig these big 11-inch wide, 2 feet deep holes for the concrete for the post. They got a lot of really hard wind. It's the Keys. And so they've got to be very sturdy fences. Not that they would ever stay if it really got bad, but they do the best they can. So these big holes. We were going out to dinner one night, and this picture flashed in my mind of someone stepping in the hole, falling into this 2-foot hole and breaking their leg. So I put this board across the hole so that, like a 4x4, just so people would know that it's there, you know, they could see it. We went to dinner. And as I'm coming home from dinner, we go back to the house. Everybody goes that way, and I go this way in the dark way to get through something. And all of a sudden, you know what I did? Wham! Right into that hole I go. Boom! And catch myself. And I just go, whoa! And you know what I realized? I didn't rebuke that thought that came to my mind. I saw a picture of a leg falling in that hole, and I didn't rebuke that picture. I didn't. It was something negative, and I didn't take authority over it, and I was the one that stepped right into that hole. Amen? You hear me? God talks to us through pictures and through unctions and inklings and intuition and knowings and actually words. He'll talk to us in our heart, our mind, our conscience. He will talk to us. Each one of us have to know how the Lord speaks to us. And we have to listen to the way that he leads us and talks and shares with us. He doesn't every second calculate and tell you every single second what you need to be doing. He's not like that. That's micromanaging, over-controlling. He doesn't do that. He trusts us. He gives us jobs to do, and he trusts us to do them. He's not too far away, but he leaves it to us to take care of it. Amen? So we have to know how he talks to us so that we can lay hold of what we want. He will show us how to do that. And that'll go to my next slide. You want to give me my next slide there? We need a clear idea of what we want. This is our financial stewardship class. And financially, what is your objective? What is the end goal that you're looking for? Is it retirement, a second home, vacation money, paying off debt, getting another job, being able to pay off somebody else's house or car? What is it that you want to do? I mean, some people have a goal of seeing themselves writing a $1,000 tithe check. Some people can easily write a $1,000 tithe check or an offering check. What is it that you want? What's your end goal? What's the object of your faith? Amen? You need to know what that is, and you have to have a very clear picture of what that is. I'll give you an example of one thing I did. I wanted to get married. So I wrote out what I wanted in a wife. Okay, I had a little list, and I just started making the things that I thought I wanted. You know that? And just set it aside, forgot about it, just set it aside. I did it in words, so I had a date of when I wrote the document, you know, but I just trusted God for it and set it aside. Do you know what? I left it alone, let it be. When I met my wife, she was everything on that list but one thing. Everything on that list. It was amazing. And the one thing that she wasn't was totally carnal, and I shouldn't have had it anyway. Okay? God was saving me. So, praise the Lord for his wisdom. Amazing, isn't it? And do you know, she had a list, and I was everything on her list, except for one thing. Praise God, I'm not that. Amen. So it worked out great. It's amazing how, when you know what it is that you want, it makes it very easy for the Holy Spirit to line you up with that thing. Are you with me? Just like, remember when, who was the unnamed servant? What was his name again? No, he didn't have a name. He was the unnamed servant. He's the Holy Spirit. And he was going to go get Rebecca, remember? At the well. And remember, it's for a wife for Isaac, right? You guys remember that? And he said what was going to take place, and that's what took, right? He laid it out for the servant, the Holy Spirit, and that's exactly what took place. Are you with me? When we can lay it out clearly what it is we want and we're looking for, that's very important to getting it. Okay? It's not all important, but it's very important to be clear on what you're believing God for. My thing was to be out of debt. I want to be out of debt by the end of this year. Okay? I kind of shelved that because I want to do this test with these other things. And lo and behold, all right, this is real life. Can I speak real life? Things don't always come the way you think they're going to come. That's what I say, hold it loosely. Because here's the thing. When you really know what it is you want and you are clear on that, what it is that you want, now you have to allow it to come to you. Allow God to bring the two of you together. Because once it's yours, it's yours. Let that sink in or write it down. Once it's mine, it's mine. Once it's yours, it's yours. When you have it in your heart as yours, your stuff will show up. Absolutely. This is very important. It's really real. That's how it works. When it's yours, it's yours. It just has to be presented to you. And you have to be obedient to do what you need to do. And God will lead you. Ideas will come. Things will happen. Doors will open. People will speak. Opportunities will arise, timing takes place, and boom, you're together with your stuff. Okay? So that's just a little side note. What was I just saying before I said that? Somebody help me. Pardon me? What, Leona? He does line it up for us. I said to see it clearly, hold it loosely. When you know it's yours, it's yours. Gotcha. Boom. Thank you. When you know it's yours, it's yours. Thank you. Praise God. I hope you remembered in tomorrow morning. All right. So, once you and your heart get together that it's yours, it is yours. Let me ask you this. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Okay. There isn't nothing too hard for him, is there? There's nothing too difficult for him. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. However, if I'm not fully persuaded in my heart that I'm allowed to have it, that I'm entitled to it, guess what? I will shipwreck my faith. I will sabotage myself. I will do that. Mm-hmm. I have to first know that I'm allowed to have it. I have to know that I'm allowed to have it. You want to give me the next slide, Bruce? You know, some of you might chuckle about this, but some of us have to have permission for things. We don't know that we're allowed to believe for certain things. We just don't know, because we've been taught that we can't live at a certain level, or that things have to be hard to get, or if we try for them, it's just going to fall apart later anyway, or I'm going to try really hard, but it's going to be elusive and then I'm not going to end up getting it. Or it's easy for them. Of course it's easy for them. They've had a charmed life. But me, I've had to work like a dog to get everything I've ever had. Whatever it is we believe in our hearts. And we all have so many different ways of how we think about things and what we believe we're entitled to and what we believe God wants us to have. All those things are laying inside of our hearts, okay? So we have to know that we have permission wholeheartedly to go after whatever it is we're believing God for. Amen? Listen, I am of the persuasion that, you know, let me just say this. I was in church for a long time, and I saw the pastors getting rich, and the congregation wasn't. They were saying, give, 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 and they were buying and buying and dressing, and it was hurting my heart. It was grieving me. So I decided in my heart that I'm going to find out how this stuff works and learn how to walk in it. Amen? So you have to do the same thing. You have to know that when we talk about these things, that it's for you personally. And no matter where you started, I started from negative 10. Some people started at zero in their life, and they had good parents, nice opportunities, no violence to speak of, no alcoholism or drug addictions, no police records, no spousal battering and somebody goes to jail, none of that. Some people never had any of that stuff. I started so far behind the eight ball, guys, that it's taken me a long time just to get to zero. And now I'm moving forward, and I'm up in the positive numbers now. I'm not where I want to be, but I am absolutely on my way. Definitely. Amen? Listen, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. Here's a key. You have to take responsibility that your life is the way it is because of you. Good, bad, or indifferent. You believed it into place. And you know what? Some of us say, I didn't believe for all this negative stuff in my heart. No, you might not have believed for the exact situation that you had to walk through. But what were you saying in your heart while it was going on? That's what you're responsible for. It's not what happens to us that hurts us. It's what we say in our heart when it goes on. That's where it really makes the difference. And if we'll say what God says in those moments, we'll get God's results. If we say in those times self-defeating, hurtful things in our hearts, we're going to get more negativity. And we're never going to get free of it. There comes a time for each one of us that we have to make a decision. Is the Bible true or isn't it? Is God for me? Or isn't he? Is this stuff real or not? And we have to, each one of us, get to the place that, you know, it's true. You know why? Because I'm proving it's true. I'm going to prove it's true for myself and so that I can share it with other people so they can do it too. Amen? And you know what's really great in a congregation? Not how good a sermon Pastor Trey preaches or Mitten or myself or somebody else. That's not the proof. The proof is you all growing, prospering, your relationships being healed and just wonderful relationships, that people want you in their lives. They like to be around you. They feel better about themselves when you're around them. They feel safer. They feel more confident. They feel edified because you are in their life. That's what this is all about. Really, it's about the body of Christ being built up, fitly joined together, till we all come to the fullness of the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. That's it. Amen? So, we have to know that we're allowed to have what the Bible says, right? Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Hmm? 2 Corinthians 1:20. Are you with me? Let's read this together. Ready? For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Anything that He's promised, we are allowed to absolutely, wholeheartedly walk in it with no reservations or apologies whatsoever. You know why? Because He absolutely says, yes, and so be it in your life. Why? Because it brings glory to God through us. He's glorified through us doing that very thing, manifesting the promises of God. It makes Him greater when we do this. So it is absolutely yes, and in Him, amen. Go for it. Amen. If our heart is to bless other people, to do good and be generous, there's no end to what He'll put through your hands. So we have to root out everything that's in our heart and minds that says that's not true. Okay? Let me just go on a little commercial for a second. Lazy minds. Who has a lazy mind? Okay, don't raise your hand. I will sometimes. Sometimes I have a lazy mind. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes I don't want to exert the energy that it takes to be focused and committed to some of the things I'm believing God for. And I'm just being honest. Sometimes I'm not. But I have learned a secret on how to overcome that. Would you guys like to know what that secret is on how to overcome when you're kind of floundering a little bit, you kind of lost your focus and your drive, you kind of believe in it, but it's not as important as it was before? Put a deadline on it. Put a deadline date on it. If you do that, if you're committed to it, and you put a deadline date on it, it's amazing how you wake up and have to get it done. I'll give you an example. Here's one moment of me waking up in my life. I used to work in the restaurant business, and I wasn't feeling very good one day. And I felt like the flu was getting on me, and I'm talking to myself, and it's getting worse and worse, and I'm tired, and I don't want to be there. My attitude's getting poorer and poorer, and I'm thinking, I want to go home. Well, in the restaurant business, it's not like that. You have to cover your bases. You have to cover your tables. And if you don't do it, somebody else is going to have to. It's got to get done. There is no in the service industry. There might be now, but when I was working, there wasn't. And so I go to my boss, and I go, oh, Jim, I don't feel very good. I think I need to go home. I just am not feeling good at all. He goes, you don't feel good? You think you need to go? He says, okay. Go ahead and go. Oh, but before you stop by my office and let me get you your final paycheck before you go. Listen, something happened. It left me instantly. It totally left. It was amazing how I was able to finish my shift with a good attitude even. It turned me around. Because all of a sudden, something important took place. It wasn't just I didn't feel, it rose up totally above that thing, and a new standard and a new level took place in my life. That's when I learned I'm capable of way more than I think I'm capable of. Let me give you another quick little story. I was living in a place called Redding, California, many years ago. And I was in Redding, California, and I was participating in something called Life Springs. I don't know, it was before I went to church or anything. It's kind of like EST. Do you know what that is? I don't really know how to define it, but it's one of those things that you can do more than you think you can do. I don't really even remember what the full message was in the whole thing. But one of the things that they did do that I was gleaned from it was, they said, nothing is impossible to those who believe. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. You just have to rise to the occasion. Okay, here's my little test. I'm talking to a guy on the phone. I'm sitting in my house, whatever I was doing. And he says, I want you to be here in the Bay Area when this next meeting starts. I said, well, I don't have the $600 for the meeting, and I'm 6 hours away, and the meeting's going to start in like 6.5 hours. And he says, find a way. I'll save a seat for you. Make sure you have a couple changes of clothes. What? What? My heart was... He goes, I'll save you a seat. I expect you to be here. I said, I don't even have a car, and you're 6 hours away, and it's $600, and I don't have any money. He says, figure it out. Be here. Click. I had two choices. Two choices. You want to put up the last slide? I had two choices. Here's my last slide. I want you to look at this real quick, and then I'm going to go on with this. The last one, the cartoon, the little, that one. Can you guys read that? It says, hey, Joe, want to be in my talent show? Joe says, you bet. He says, I can put on a magic show where I juggle rabbits in a hat while swallowing a flaming sword and accompanying myself as a one-man band. He says, the show starts tomorrow night. He goes, I can sit on the stage and stuff my face with nachos. Sometimes the deadline can be so close that you freak out and cave under the pressure and you aren't going to do anything. Right? But if you'll rise to the occasion, something happens that is out of your control. And it's faith kicking in. Whether it's the Holy Spirit, I don't quite know how to name it, or what, or if this planet is designed to help us, I don't know the right words. But all things are possible to him who believes, right? Soon as that phone went click, something, I had a choice. Either cave, give up, and acknowledge that I can't do this. I can't do this. It's too hard. I'm just going to quit and keep this lousy life that I've got that I don't like anymore. Or I can rise to the occasion. Something inside of me just said, go for it, Robert, just go for it. All of a sudden, ideas just started coming to me. I go, okay, I got to get to California. I was in Northern California. I have to get to the Bay Area. Okay, I got to get to the Bay Area. I got to get to this spot in Foster City, in there. I can't take a taxi. I don't have money. It's a taxi. I don't know anybody that will drive me there. I got to hitchhike. Okay, I'm going to have to hitchhike. So I got to hitchhike. How can I do this? How can I get a ride? I found a piece of poster board, and I just got all these color crayons on and markers, and I just wrote in this big rainbow color, save my life, in these colors on this big billboard, poster board, and I run out. It takes me about 5 or 10 minutes to get to the highway. I get to the highway, crawl down the side, and get to where somebody could pull over for me, and I'm out there like this on the road with this sign. In about 10 seconds, this big old truck pulls over. Pulled right over and pulls over, and he goes, where are you going? I go, I'm going to Foster City. He goes, so am I. I go, okay, how long will it going to take you to get there? You got stops? He says, no, I can be there in about 6 hours. I go, okay, I'm in. I think it was actually 4.5 hours at that time. And he got right in the truck, jumped right in, off we're going down the road. And I go, by the way, why did you stop and get me? He goes, that sign caught my attention, saved my life. I thought I should save your life. I said, I have to be there. It's an emergency. He says, well, I'm going to be able to park right there, and you can jump out and just walk across the field and go right to the place you're going to be at, the Marriott over there. Okay, cool. He drove me right to the spot, and I just ran across the field. Okay, I got about an hour to go, and I need $600. What am I going to do to get $600? What am I going to do to get $600? All of a sudden, everybody's out there getting ready to get into the service. And they're all, hey, Robert, how are you, Robert? Oh, it's so good to see you, Robert. They're giving me hugs and everything. And I go, I need money to get in here today, so I'm going to have an auction. I got this gold nugget around my neck, and I took it off, and I go, I'm going to auction this off to you all right now. So let's sell some raffle tickets. I need $600 total. So I said, who's going to give me $50 for a ticket? Let's go. I said, this thing's worth at least $400 when I bought it. It's worth more now. So let's go. And I started selling raffle tickets to the crowd of people. Listen, all of a sudden you rise so far out of your comfort zone because now it's not a matter of me and what they're going to think. It's a matter of fulfilling that thing. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's no being tired. There's no thinking, what do they think? There's none of that. It's, how do I get to the next step? How do I get to here? I'm raffling it off, and one guy says, I'm up to $200. I got four goers so far. And one guy goes, how much do you need? I said, I need $400 more. He goes, I'll cover that. I want you to be in there. I said, okay, thanks. Here, you can have the necklace. And I got my money, and I got into the event. Listen, 7 hours earlier, I was in Redding, California, sitting in my house, going, woe is me. My life sucks. How am I ever going to change anything? Are you with me? Totally. Turned it completely around. Why? Because something became important. It had a deadline on it, and I had to get it done in a certain amount of time. Sometimes a deadline is necessary. Amen? Not always. Not always. When I got my first house, I just laid out exactly what I wanted in a house. I said, I want it by a creek. Some of you heard this already. I want it in the county and not in the city, but I want it close to my girlfriend's house, so in case I need to babysit her daughter while she's at work. I said, I want it close to the neighborhood, somewhere in Milwaukee, Oregon, and I want it in the county. I want a creek in the backyard. I want a good-sized lot, and I don't want to pay any money down. See how you chuckle? It's like I'm almost asking for too much, right? So guess what? I'm driving around showing real estate to people, and maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, listen, I just decided what I wanted and left it alone at that. I never went on the MLS and started looking for properties, nothing. I just left it alone. I decided what I wanted and left it alone. I was driving around. I saw this out of the corner of my eyes. I'm showing property to this couple. I see this house and some activity in it in my neighborhood, and I thought, that's not normal activity for that house. I told my client, stay here in the car. And I walked over there. I go, what's going on here? Well, the owner just died, and we're his heirs, and we need to sell the property, and it's not in very good shape. It's going to take some work and everything. And he says, we just want to sell it. I go, I'm interested. Wow. I'm interested in this house. He goes, well, we got somebody that's interested. I go, no. They may be interested. I'm going to buy it. All right, this is my house now. I live right around the corner. So I need this property. He goes, well, if the deal goes through, if it falls through, I'll call you. Here's my number. When it falls through, call me. Did you hear my verbiage?
Yeah.
So I said that, and I went and got my clients in the car. It was exactly what they were looking for. I didn't care. Let's go find you a house. Let's go find you a house. And we went and found them a house. They were very happy with it, by the way, very happy with it. So then a week later, that deal fell apart. Gave me a call. Says, you might not remember me. My name is so-and-so. I says, Tom, yeah, I remember you. Absolutely, yeah. What's going on? Well, that deal fell apart. He wasn't able to buy it for this financing or that. Wouldn't cover it. So are you still interested? I said, absolutely, I'm interested. He goes, okay, but there's a couple of problems. It's not zoned city. It's county zoning. Is that okay? Yeah, that'll be fine. I can deal with that. He goes, and I want you to know that, you know, it's not like the rest of the neighborhood. There's a creek in the backyard. You know, is that going to be a problem? Because you never know what kind of person's going to be walking up and down the creek out there. I says, no, that's fine. And it is a double lot, so it's going to be a lot to take care of. Is that going to be okay? Yeah, that'll be fine. I'll handle that. And because of the situation that it's in, I have to carry the paper, and I can't have you pay any interest. So you can just make principal-only payments. I'll just let you have it. You don't got to do down, but you can just have it and just make me monthly payments on it so we don't have to pay the taxes on the probate and all that. I said, I can do that. I go home, listen to this. I say to my girlfriend, I don't believe this. I don't even have to pay any money. I can't believe that I don't have to pay any money down on this thing. What am I thinking? A couple days later, he calls me and says, we took the paperwork to our attorney, and he won't let us sell it to you for no money down. He thinks you need to be invested in something so that you'll follow through on your payments. So he says we need to charge you $1,500. I said, serious? He goes, yeah, we don't want to, but we have to. Our attorney advised us that's what we got to do. I said, okay, I'll do that. I sabotaged my own self by not believing that I got what I wanted. Hear me? I sabotaged myself by the words that came out of my mouth. I bought the house, kept it for a little while, did a few things with it. It had a ghost. I had to get the ghost out of the house. It was interesting. That's another story, though. It's just another story. Anyway, and you want to hear a story about the ghost real quick? All right, side story. I was eating TV, and the mice were crawling up on the table and on my shoes. And as I was cleaning the house, I was eating my dinner and telling them, no, you're not invited to eat here with me. And all of a sudden, the TV goes off. I go, whoa, you ever get the wheelies and just go brrrr? I had those. And I forgot what the guy's name was. I told him, I said, listen, this is my house now. You can go into the light. I wasn't spiritually where I am now, just to let you know. I said, you can go into the light. Don't be afraid. I got your house covered. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to restore it. It's going to be nice. You relax. Now go. Boom, the TV popped right back on again. Freaked me out, but it was a completely different atmosphere after that. The mouses all left. It cleaned up really nice. There was a stink in the house that came out of the house. It was weird. But anyway, cleaned it right up. There was a smell in the house that came out of the house. Once that all happened, he left. He really did. Now, whether it was him or a demon, I didn't have that spiritual accoutrements just then. But it left. So anyway, I sold that house in a few months and made $27,000 on that deal. It turned out great just because I asked for what I actually wanted. Are you hearing me? Here's another thing I just want to say. Don't ask for what you don't believe you can have. If you don't believe you're allowed to have it, don't ask. You're just going to shipwreck your faith. You're just going to hurt your own heart. If you're asking beyond where your faith is at, then nothing. It's not going to work. Look, I had faith. I was believing faith for a cell phone, a couple of other things, okay? A truck that I want to get, a Dodge Ram, just to let you know, for whoever can hear me. I believe the Holy Spirit's moving on somebody. I'm playing with you. No, but listen, and guess what? I'm driving along, all of a sudden, bam, I get in an accident. Nobody's hurt. Take my car in. What's it called when they condemn your car? Totaled. They totaled my car, gave me a big check, gave me my car back, drives perfectly fine. I've got parts ordered. Some of them have already come in. For $500, I'm going to fix it totally up, and it's going to look just like it did before. And the insurance man said, and after you do that, if you wreck it again, I'll give you this much money again. Okay, cool. So they totaled it, but they didn't write it on the title as a total. So in other words, free money.
Who are your insurance?
Geico. Free money. Guess what? I wasn't planning on it, but that's how a lot of that debt got taken care of. Just like that. Boom, gone. Because that was one of those looming things over my head, you know. I wanted it cleared up. And it was robbing me from being able to really focus on these other things. And so it just happened, boom, got that one taken care of, it's out of the way. These things are totally natural ways of solving these problems. But you think that it's going to be some woo-woo thing. It's not. Once you set it in motion, what it is that you want or you're believing for, it'll come. It'll happen. Just let it come the way it's going to come. Amen? Don't get too hard on things. Here's another thing. When you put your faith towards something, say you want to increase a second job, you want an early retirement, you want to pay your house off, something like that. You want your vehicles and everything paid for. Whatever it is you're choosing to do, you want to put a child through college, something. And you want to do this thing. Your heart is going to set up and tell you there's going to be certain things that have to take place for you to be able to do that. Okay? Don't ignore your heart. Don't lie against your own heart. Okay? That thing has information in there that it's not going to let you up on. It will not ignore. Listen, it'll rob you down the road if you try to ignore what your heart's telling you. That's why you have to be fully persuaded. You have to know you're allowed to have this stuff and it's God's will for you to have it so that you can talk to your own heart and say, it's okay, we're going to be fine in this. All right. And then it starts trusting you. This may sound silly, but it's absolutely real. If your heart says, let's just say, I'm looking for a new truck. Okay. Well, you can't afford a real truck payment. You can't afford $400, $600, $800 a month for a truck payment. That's not a wise stewardship with what's going on right now. That's a very real thing. Guess what? I'm bound by that rule. I can't override it. So I can't try to. So I say, well, God's going to have to provide another way then. He's just going to have to provide another way. Well, what kind of truck are you believing for? What can I believe for that's within my realm right now at this time in my life? Not to say that it's forever. Somebody else might be able to do some dually diesel 2017 truck, and their faith is there for that. It's perfectly fine. I haven't worked up to that yet. I got to be real with where my faith is at now and believe for the faith that I have. It'll grow. Once you learn how to operate in it, the parameters get looser and looser, and you can believe for more and more and more. But you got to have some under your belt that works every time for you. Are you with me? So if my heart says, okay, well, you're going to have to go to dealerships, you're going to have to look around, you're going to have to go on Craigslist, Auto Trader, blah, 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 and those are the kind of things you're going to do to find it, then that's what you need to do if that's what your heart says. But if it doesn't say that, if you say this, no, I believe I'm going to see it parked somewhere with a for sale sign in it. Then that's what it'll be. But what's ever real for you, if there's something that your heart is telling you that you have to do, do it. If you say no, you're not going to get it. I'm just letting you know. If you tell your heart no, it won't come to pass because you just stopped it. Are you hearing me? So you've got to have the word on what you're believing for. You've got to have the confidence in what you're believing for, and you've got to know that it's rightfully yours. Are you with me? Okay. We're going to do some questions and answers at the end. Oh, it's right at time right now. It's 8:03. We should probably do that now, huh? Okay, let me talk about this. We need to have focus and commitment. So let me just take 5 minutes this. You want to put up the first focus one? Whatever you focus on, you're going to magnify. It's going to get more real in your life. In other words, if you're looking for blue Crown Royals, all of a sudden, you're going to notice blue Crown Royals everywhere you go. You never noticed them before, but now you're noticing them everywhere you go. The kind of car I drive, they say they're very hard to get parts because there's a lot of them out there. So that's why he had to get total it, because it's just too hard to get parts for my car because there's too many of those cars. Everybody wants them. I'm looking around. I'm seeing my car everywhere. I'm going, that's an identical car except for the dent. That's identical. That's the same color and everything. I mean, they're all over the place. I'm seeing them everywhere because why? I've been focused on that, so I notice that, right? Whatever you focus on, it's going to get bigger. You want to do the next slide? Your focus has to be clear. You're going to have to really see it clearly what it is you're believing God for. Listen, some people get into mental images. They sit down, they see it. They visualize themselves having it and owning it. That works very well, very well. Not for everybody, though. Pastor Trey was telling me when they got their house, they just sat down at the beginning of the year and said, we want to buy a house by the end of this year. Okay? What month did you buy your house in?
December
of the very year that they decided. Did you sit down and visualize it and all that kind of stuff? All you did was that year, when you did your New Year stuff, you decided this year we're going to have a home.
Well, she cut out some pictures.
Oh, she did the visualizing. She cut out pictures.
I did the lazy mind.
And she did say she decided that she wanted to be brick
and a big yard.
But she forgot to specify, let it be in the woods so we wouldn't have yard work. Amen. So you need to be focused and clear on what it is you want, because it's going to be magnified, and it's going to, that's how it starts, knowing what it is. Next slide. Commitment. This is not the kind of commitment that I'm talking about that most people say, I need a commitment from your brother that you're going to put your whole heart into it. Yeah, that's not where I'm doing. I'm not talking about putting something on you, making you obligated to something. I'm not talking about that. This kind of commitment is a feeling of confidence that you'll continue to pursue what you want no matter what happens. That kind of commitment, that you're going to go after it and give it your whole heart until you actually have what it is you're believing for.
Yes.
Okay? Fully persuaded that you're allowed to have it, that it's yours. You have to have that confidence in place. Okay? Next slide. This is commitment. The hen participated. The pig was fully committed.
He's in the pan.
Isn't that the truth? The hen participated, but the pig was fully persuaded. Amen? He was all in. Okay? All in. It's important. Number 9. Do the next one. Intention. Intention is more important than action. Okay? What you're believing for, what you're intending to have, your, remember your object that I talked about in the beginning? What you decide in your heart is more important than actually the steps that you take to get it. Do you need to take steps? Yes. But let the Holy Spirit, your heart, and situations lead you into those steps more than, I'm going to spend 4 hours a day researching the newspaper, and then after I'm done researching the newspaper, I'm going to make 6 calls and kind of find out what they say about this kind of a thing, you know? Yes, you can do that stuff, but don't trust in those things, okay? Believing God is more important than setting your intention into it. The next one, 10, here's the last one. Like I said before, the greatest inspiration is a deadline. When you get a deadline, not always, you don't always need one, but when you do, it will amp you up to get that. It'll let you see that you're capable of way more than you think you are. Amen? I can give you tons of stories of how I believe by faith for things, and they just happened. Just happened. I can even tell you about the house that I'm in now. It was absolutely God all the way. It was, Lenora's going, yep, sure was. She knows. She helped initiate it. How's that? Sometimes you need a friend to kick you in the end so that you can see what you believe in for. Because you may not think you're capable of it. You may not think that you are. But other people know you and say, go for it. Just go for it. You can do it. Just go for it. Sometimes you need a little kick in the end. Amen? All right. Thank you for your time. Does anybody have any questions? Miss Lenora, 1 second, let Trey get down there with the...
I just want to ask you, I guess you have to know in your spirit what the Lord...
Pull that up higher to your mouth.
What the Lord, I feel like I want to know, you have to really know in your spirit what the Lord is really telling you. Like, say in your mind, you really want this, but the Lord says, you know, he's telling me, you need to be content wherever you are right now, what you got right now. So, you know, this is where I'm at. I want this. He says, no, you be content where you're at right now. That's
okay. If it's the Lord telling you to be content where you are right now, then you need to be content.
I feel like that's what.
Because when you're being obedient, is when you're paying attention to Him and His kingdom, He'll pay attention to you and your kingdom. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you put your heart on what he wants, his heart is for you to get what you want.
Right.
Sometimes he blindsides you. He sees if you're willing to let it go and just trust him and be patient. And if you do, that's a condition of your heart, that you trust him, then he may swoop around on the backside and bring an opportunity to you without you even trying to get it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But if you believe it's the Lord telling you to be patient, then the Lord trumps everything.
I do. because that's what I really, you know, I really want this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, you better, you need to be content. You need to learn to be content where you're at and what you got.
Okay. Well, I want to say this. If you're married and you're believing for something big, like say moving or something that affects your spouse's life, they've got to be in agreement with you, and not because you're strong-arming them. The Lord, say, Lord, I'll tell you, with my wife, I said, Lord, my wife's heart is here, and she's in this place, but I believe you're telling me to do this. Lord, you have to be God to her and tell her what you're telling me. Okay? And then you have to take your hands off it and let him be God to tell her that. And then I have to wait for it to come out of her mouth. I tell her what my desires are, and I leave it alone. And then all of a sudden, one day, she'll go, you know, Robert, the Lord's been ministering to me. I think it'll be okay if we do such and such. Lord, you're so good.
And you eliminated the strife.
That's Praise it.
God. Hey, let me. I want to address this contentment thing, because that is a really good question, a good point, because we're familiar with the scriptures that says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Hebrews says, be content with such things as you have. Let's clarify this. When the scriptures use the word content, it literally means independent of circumstances. It's not saying be satisfied with where you're at. It's saying don't let where you're at dictate your joy, affect you emotionally, and things like that, whether good or bad. So my point in bringing that out is contentment is not just being, okay, I'm just okay, I don't need anything else, and I just need to be okay with my lot in life, and I'm not going to go any further. That's not what the Lord wants for you. He wants you to be content with him, meaning you're totally good with just your relationship with him. However, he wants you, like Robert started this off, why do we want what we want? God wants you to believe him for more so you can minister to other people as well. And if it increases you along the way, as long as you're satisfied in your relationship with the Lord, there is no condemnation.
Let me tell you this one time. Ready? God is a miracle-working God. Listen, he can do whatever he needs to do. He's not going to manifest money in your pocket unless that's really the solution for the problem. Okay, that's not his normal way of doing it, but he does do that stuff. I was in Colorado. I had to do a funeral for a relative, and I had to get together with my family. I had just enough money at that time because I'm a Bible college student with just a little piddly job, but I had enough to drive to Idaho to see my family and to do the funeral. They asked me to do the funeral and then to get home again back to Colorado. I was in Bible college, and I said this, Lord, I have enough money to get there and to get home, but I'd really like to take my family out for pizza so we can all fellowship when I got there. Can you help me out? And I just let it go. I'm doing this tile job. This person from California, a friend of mine, called me. I'm talking to them about tithing and giving offerings and what the difference is and what their capacity is in the Lord's eyes. And we're talking about tithing and giving offerings and the heart condition for doing those things. And I look out the window of this little cabin that I'm tiling the floor on as I'm talking, and I see this thing blowing around out in the parking lot, just blowing in a circle like a leaf or something, you know, caught in a wind tunnel. But you know how you know it's not a leaf? There's something about cash that your eye knows that's cash.
It's a different color.
That's money. And it's probably from here to outside the church in the foyer, you know, out in that parking lot out there. And I thought, just a minute, I'm going to go check something out. Like Moses says, I'm going to go look at that bush that burns. I walked out there. There is a $100 bill blowing in this circle, just right caught in a whirlwind, just still blowing till I get there. I get there, and when I get there, it stops and lays right down. And you know the thought is, get my foot on it before it goes away. And I got that thing up, I stuck that in my pocket, and I walk over to the office and I go, hey, if somebody lost some money, I just found some. If they can tell me what it is by tomorrow, it's theirs. Because if they came to the office, because I lived in an RV park, and maybe somebody lost it, nobody claimed it at all, you know what I do with that money? Took my family out to go buy pizza. It's just the smallest things. But the Lord really cares.
He cares.
He does. when you can just let him be God instead of me trying to twist his arm or be good enough or get him maneuvered somehow.
Yeah.
You know that? None of that works.
Give him permission to do it. And sometimes the Lord does speak in the whirlwind.
That's right, he does.
Amen. You got any other questions? Luke.
All right.
I wanted to thank you, Robert, for your message tonight. And it's a challenge to me because you said something that really struck something and reminded me of, you know, even back a long time ago in my career, I used to go in every morning early. I worked in an engineering office, and a lot of engineers aren't Christians, and I didn't want to be judged for it. So I'd go in super early, and I would pray over my desk. I would pray over my computer. I would pray over my work. And mm-hmm. It was just amazing the things that would get done, and I was just blessed with awards and recognition. Because of, and I knew it wasn't me, and I've gotten lazy in that. I have not been doing that, and I need to do that. And there's also things that I know that I need to do to take care of. But anyway, and I've been reminded kindly and patiently, and I haven't been doing things knowing that God has something there for us. And see, because the thing is, again, it's that motive, it's that mindset, it's that motive. What is my pure motive in this? My motive in this is not so that I can have more and so that I can do more. It's so that I can be used more to bless others.
Mm-hmm.
And so just thank you so much for the challenge and the encouragement for us to be able to do more and do better, because I just want to see people blessed.
Amen. And I want to say, Luke, you just reminded me of something. Listen, you don't have to tell anybody what you're believing for. It's between you and God. You know, it's a fool that tells all.
I'm sorry, I didn't clarify something too.
Go ahead.
When I said I was blessed with a bunch of awards, I was scattered or brainy there a little bit. I didn't share that to say that, oh, Luke, you're just awesome. What was amazing in that is all these engineers, I mean, I was a staff sergeant working in an office with senior NCOs and officers, and I was getting invited to these conferences to speak on what I was doing for Air Force Communications at the time, and developing networks when computer networks didn't exist. I didn't know what I was doing. I honestly did not know what I was doing. And I would have these dreams that would be so clear. Luke, tell him to do this. And I would have these problems that would come to me, and it was just, Luke, do this. And it was just amazing. And people were like, how in the world is this kid? I mean, one of the guys that was on the original internet, I was in his class, and he was sitting there, and he was asking me if I could show him how to network computers together. You know, and that was just an amazing thing for me. And it wasn't coming from me. It was, if you look back, it was because I was dedicating everything that I was doing for the glory of God. Absolutely everything.
And what's nice is he gave it to you in dreams, because your heart was to actually do this and to progress in this area, and you didn't have it in your natural knowledge. So the Lord found a way to get you what you needed. See? So it works for everybody. Miss Nancy.
Well, actually, this morning I was praying over my vision board. I made a vision board with all the things that I desired for this year, for 2017. And one of them, and I also speak out the blessing that we do over our finances. And I called out each item and thing that was on that board. And one of them was I needed somebody to do my lawn. I desired to have somebody to come in and do yard work for me. While I was on a walk today, I saw some guy cutting some lawn, and so I stopped and said, can you come down and look at my yard and give me an estimate? Because one of the things, I didn't have enough money to have a whole lot, but I have like three lots, and mm-hmm. so there's a lot of yard work.
Mm-hmm.
He came down and he gave me this bid. I'm thinking, oh, wow, because it was so low, and I'm going, is this real? You know? And so I said, I got to go pick up the kids from school, and I'll be back. And he did such a miraculous job that it just blew me away for some piddly little money. I mean, that somebody should have charged me double for what he did.
Careful what you say, girl.
It does work. I mean, I was over my vision board for about a half an hour speaking and declaring the goodness of the Lord and the glory that was going to come from all these things. One of them was to give more money to Israel and things like that. But I mean, just
amen.
Declaring it out.
Amen. Amen. That works.
It does work.
I tell you, I'll just give you another little clue. If you see someone that's behaving differently than you like them to behave, see them blessed. Speak blessing over them. Speak goodness in their life. And I'll tell you, the Lord is faithful.
Yes, He is.